Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's 5 at 5 with Mully and Hall, where we debate the top five sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Hall. 5 at 5 with Mully and Hall starts now.
Who is more likely to be a Bears player next season, Cody Parkey or Kareem Hunt?
A great man told me he came out of Hellas Hall believing that he went in there. He couldn't believe he came out thinking that Kareem Hunt had a better chance of being a Bear than Cody Parkey. But I think that is absolutely correct, Mr. David. And it was, of course, you that told me that. And, I got to tell you, if Matt Nagy were running the world, I think they'd have claimed him off waivers. That's how strongly he was endorsing the kid. And he's looking at it from a football perspective, and he said that he's talked to him, and he's just talked to him about, as a person, what he's going through. Listen, he's going to be suspended for at least six games to open next season, I would imagine. So do you want that guy coming in for the last 10 games of the year? I guess he knows the offense. I know he can do a lot of good things, and he can be a difference maker. But I cannot believe that the McCaskies would sign up on that one. That just doesn't seem possible to get. I mean, I know George will call his parents and they'll vouch for him. But you make all the jokes you want. I just can't see the team that got rid of the Honey Bears actually signing on board with Kareem Hunt. I just can't envision it. And I know that Matt Nagy seems real high on it. It seemed like the general manager was kind of like, well, let's tap the brakes. I haven't gotten permission yet. But it seemed like it was in the works. So Cody Parkey did not, there was no one endorsing him. There was no one backing him yesterday. And Kareem Hunt has a believer in that building.
You talk about the history of the Bears, and you go back to 2015 and you'll remember they signed Ray McDonald, and that's why Ryan Pace was hesitant yesterday and cautious. Even he remembers the Ray McDonald fiasco. He signed Ray McDonald, the 49ers free agent that was let go by the 49ers because of his history of incidents of violence.
George called his parents.
He believed in the guy. He flew out here and they signed him, and 62 days later he was involved in another incident. Now, those charges that were filed were eventually dropped. The video was released, and it was ugly. And it was a guy that you were better off without. Look, I think you like to say the coach's job is to do what's best for the team, and the general manager's job is to save the franchise from the coach. I think this is one of those cases where you've got to do that. You've got to step in. This is not a McCaskey move you want to make. And I think that when you look at, Kareem Hunt's history, nobody's saying he deserves a lifetime ban. But I don't think that we're at the point yet where you can, you make that broad sweeping statement. In the context of this decision, in the context of the Bears right now, this team, this franchise would be better off passing on this. So I think that I didn't expect to leave House Hall yesterday thinking that Kareem Hunt had a better chance of being a Bear next year than Cody Parkey, but Matt Nagy led me to believe that that's the way that he would like to go. And I do think they're going to probably explore every opportunity to do that. It's going to be a discussion they have to have at the highest level. And until they come out and give us reason to believe otherwise, I think it's a very strong possibility that they're going to pursue this.
Yeah, yesterday you guys were talking a lot about what was going to be discussed. What do you want answered? If you gave me 20 guesses, I never would have said the headline is going to be Kareem Hunt after the way this Bears season ended. Now, as far as the question goes, Parkey's toast. He's gone. Nagy wanted to say it. His body language was screaming it.
Wow.
He is gone. Pace, his body language, he was just flexing his biceps all day. That was pretty impressive.
Wow, looked like he was in really good shape. jacked up.
Whose idea was it to wear short sleeves? I mean, that was right?
Well, that's why they were
looking that way. Yeah.
He was getting his curls in. Those hammer curls for pace. My God.
Yeah. It did jump out at you, though, huh?
Yeah. Well,
he was clearly flexing, right? Or maybe he's just that muscular.
Well, I think he's bursting. I don't know if it's flexing.
Anyway, yeah, 11 kicks, season on the line. He blew it for you there, Miami. You weren't even playing in that game if it wasn't for Parkey missing that kick in Miami, too. How do you go in that locker room and say this guy's back or we're even giving him a chance? And I'm sure the locker room not happy about that appearance on national TV on Friday. He's gone. He's gone. That was sealed on Friday 100%. Hunt, doors open. They left it wide open. So to answer the question, Hunt is more likely to be a Bear because I think the door's open for Hunt. It is slam shut on Parkey here. But did they seem prepared to answer that? Because Pace just dished it off. Well, he knows him better than I do. He would have something better if he was prepared for that question.
I think the one guy is telling the other guy, we need this guy.
I think that was Matt Nagy's way of saying, okay, I'm ready to handle this, and he makes us better.
And thank you for following up, David. Thank you. Finally, somebody followed up on that question.
That was, yes, commendable. I think today's show aside, you just look at the whole of Cody Parkey's season and not just the game in the playoffs and not just the game in Detroit where he hit the upright four different times, but if you look at the whole season, he was one of the worst kickers in the entire NFL. And then you add on the Today Show appearance to the end of that without the team's consent, where he goes on there and he tries to redeem himself and be, you know, smiley, nice guy, aw, gee, shucks, you know, it's just a game, you know. Yeah, it's a bad look. And you add that on top of the poor season that he had. There's no chance that he is going to come back here. I think that until yesterday, I thought there might have been a slight chance he comes back just because of the financial implications, but I think yesterday made it pretty clear that he's going to be done in Chicago, and that's probably a good decision. As far as Kareem Hunt goes, it's definitely more likely that he's going to be here. I would even, you know, put a wager on it at this point. The way that Matt Nagy was just going on and on about how, you know, great experience, great player, this, that, and the third. I mean, it was kind of sickening at times. To use Matt Nagy's own word, he was sickened by watching those playoffs games. I was kind of sickened hearing him fawning over Kareem Hunt, a man who's been involved in not one, not two, but three altercations off the field. More altercations off the field than actually seasons completed in the NFL. That's not a really good track record, and we do have more on this later. So I will now pass it on to Dustino.
Thanks, Kevbo. Listen, Parkey's gone, and you know if Kareem Hunt is able to play in the NFL next year, which is still a if, right? We don't even know how long the suspension will continue. Right now, he's just on the commissioner's exempt list. So, but I do think if based on the question, who is more likely to be a Bear player next season, I have to go with Kareem Hunt.
Boy, you guys are ready. You guys are fired off the questions.
What are the differences between giving any player a second chance as opposed to offering a player you drafted or developed a second chance? Would the McCaskies approve of signing Hunt as opposed to the Ricketts with Addison Russell?
Well, there's a lot there. I think when you hear Theo Epstein talk about Addison Russell, you do sense there's more of a... It sounded more genuine, I think, in terms of him wanting to help the person and wanting to help sort of the social cause. It might have been, you know, it might be he's snowing everybody, but I think he sounded a little bit more sincere than yesterday when it sounded like it was definitely there were football reasons contributing to Matt Nagy's, you know, explanation for why he wanted to throw Kareem Hunt a lifeline for his NFL career. But at the same time, I understood that too because, you know, Theo, the Cubs didn't draft Addison Russell. They traded for him at a young age and developed him, and they feel an allegiance to him and a responsibility. I think you heard the same sense of responsibility from Matt Nagy yesterday, even though that was sort of veiled in football motivation. He got to know this guy that the Chiefs drafted. He was there the night they drafted him. He saw him develop. So I think he felt like that was, you know, something driving him and motivating him, and I think compelling him to say, all right, I know this guy. This isn't who he is. And he said a lot of the nice things that I do agree with you, Kevin, that was cringeworthy. And I think that the more he talked, the more you felt like, okay, it's enough now. I will say this. Theo is defending Addison Russell and saying the things that he has said about him. And the Cubs certainly have, you know, given him every opportunity to come back. The Bears were reacting to this because there's a video of what Kareem Hunt did to this woman, and there's a video of him shoving and kicking her, and it's a powerful image, and it's not something you read, it's not something that you hear, it's something that you see. And I doubt seriously that Theo Epstein would be as open and as supportive of Addison Russell if there were video of what he is alleged to have done to his ex-wife, and I think that would have that would change the game.
I think the video is a big deal. I think you're right. I think that, you know, you hear of something, but when you see it, it is just awful. It's just horrible to look at. I do think that you know, Tom Ricketts is a businessman and he understands what an asset is, and they do have personal experience with the player, and they have watched him kind of grow up and turn into the man that he is now, and maybe they do legitimately feel a responsibility about making sure he's on the straight and narrow now and making sure they help him and all of that. Whether they feel it or not, they can make that argument. And I think it's very hard to make that argument about someone that you are not connected with, someone that had problems outside of the team. I understand that Matt Nagy was with him for a year and feels a connection to the kid, which is why he's calling him and talking to him. But this is more about, there is a mercenary aspect of going out and getting a player that is available that could help you and on your scheme. This is more about football than it is. You can't make the argument that number one, you're trying to protect an asset, which is, you know, maybe a cold argument, or number two, you're trying to be there for someone personally because he grew up in your organization. Those arguments aren't available to the Bears. You bring this guy in, you're saying, you know, you're bringing him in for one reason, because you think he can help your team, and you don't care about the other elements of it. And again, it's not just one incident. There were a few different incidents. There's a guy lying about it, and why should the Bears feel any responsibility whatsoever over that? There is no emotional connection other than the coach knew him as a player.
Did it seem disingenuous to you that he was saying that there was this emotional connection, that there was a feeling?
I'm sure. Listen.
Because he's not a guy that we're used to hearing or being disingenuous at all.
Fair enough. But if the kid couldn't play, would he have that personal connection?
No.
So it's hard for me to make that connection, David.
That's a good answer.
Yeah. It's tough to compare all these different situations, and you throw McDonald in there too. Now, once you start bringing in baseball players, well, you're talking about guys that have longer careers, guys that are under control for a longer period of time. Maybe running backs, what? Your prime is a few years, and that prime already started for Hunt. As far as if the Bears would actually make this sort of a move, Matt Nagy clearly would like to make this move. He has a lot of pull right now, a lot. This is a team that just was in last place for four straight seasons. They are so happy. They think they found the winning combination for a long time with head coach and general manager. I think push comes to shove. If Nagy's really pushing for it, that in the end, the McCaskies would approve this deal. But the question brings up a good point. That players that are drafted, once you make that investment early on, and that player or in a trade is on your record as a general manager forever, you're more likely to give them another shot. But I think that we're going to see Kareem Hunt on the Bears next season.
Yeah, I think in regard to a player that you do draft or you do acquire at a young age, or you sign, you know, as an international free agent at a young age, anytime you invest something in a player that early, then you will give them many more chances because you want to be correct, you want your assessment to be right, and you want to be justified in that you did make the right decision, even if there are other issues that arise over time, like we've seen with Addison Russell. The Cubs will continue to give him a chance because they did invest in him a while ago at this point, and they do still believe that he can be a good player. And really, whether it's baseball, basketball, football, hockey, whatever the sport is, the only thing that the executives really care about is whether or not they have good players and whether or not that they can win games. And the only differences between a guy like Hunt and a guy like Russell is that with Kareem Hunt, you don't have to give up a draft pick. You don't have to trade an asset. You can just pick the guy up and you can sign him. You can give him a contract. And I think that probably makes it easier for an organization to say, okay, well, yeah, we're going to give this guy a second chance. Matt Nagy knew him in Kansas City and he never had any issues with him whatsoever. But this, to me, if they do sign Kareem Hunt, and we don't know if they will, certainly yesterday it not only opened the door, it blew the door completely open, and I would be surprised at this point if they don't make a run at
it. It programmed our show.
It really programmed
every sports talk radio show in Chicago.
Yes.
Absolutely. And, you know, as much as Matt Nagy, since coming here, has talked about high character and building a good, you know, locker room and a culture, character, are these words that he actually believed ever, or are these just buzzwords that he wanted to go out there and kind of tout as, you know, this BU kind of, you know, hip, you know, loose kind of guy? This is not a high character person, Kareem Hunt. And like I said, it's not just the video of him with this woman in this hotel. He's had other things arise, and he's had perhaps a second chance already, and maybe this would be his third or fourth chance. So I wouldn't be surprised at all if Kareem Hunt came in here next season. We're a long way away at this point, but I'm not going to say I would stop rooting for the Bears or anything like that, but I definitely think it would take a lot of the luster off of this feel-good story and the alleged culture and character of the franchise.
Well, to Kevin's point, and when you draft a guy or you get a guy in free agency, you want to be right, okay? And also, when you draft the guy, you've done a ton of homework. Now, some of that homework ends up being bad homework. You failed at the homework, but you did a lot of homework. I don't know if 1 year with Hunt, with Nagy, it wasn't like he was his position coach even. He was the offensive coordinator, kind of really quarterback's coach more than anything else, and Kareem Hunt's a running back. So I don't know what the relationship exactly was day in and day out over there. I'm sure Nagy will lean on Andy Reid for that. The Chiefs had no choice to do what they did. But as I said to you guys in the pre-show meeting, this is a violent game played by violent men. And I'm not saying that I'm rolling out the red carpet for Kareem Hunt. But as I've said with Addison Russell, if the league is deciding that these guys are allowed to play the sport and your goal is to win games and win championships, then if you think that's the right thing to do, then you've got to do it, because otherwise you might be out of a job.
Well, you know, it's two really good questions.
If the White Sox get Manny Machado, what does their infield look like? And which report do you believe, the one that says they offered 7 or 8 years?
Yeah, I think Manny plays wherever he wants to. So if that's the question, does he play shortstop? Of course he does. Yeah, he does. And I guess Manny's at shortstop, and Yomer is at third base. And you've got a second baseman there, and you've got a first baseman. So if that's what their infield would look like. Tim Anderson, I guess, moves to the outfield, or maybe he plays some third. I don't know. Wouldn't be something I would get too worked up about. I believe that he's been offered a 7-year deal. I believe that that this is positioning to get another year out of the White Sox. If that's what it takes, then go ahead and do it. But the reports out there are that the Yankees are no longer interested, and that Philadelphia is now making a full court press on Harper. That would seemingly indicate that the music has stopped and it is time to sit down in a chair, and it's one with the White Sox. So why bid against yourself? Is there a mystery team that's making some kind of an offer? I think the White Sox probably have the best, maybe the only offer on the table right now. Why would they have to increase that just to make sure they get it done? I know it's a dangerous game. I understand that it's negotiating, but are you negotiating against yourself? That's what you got to figure out. And you want to make sure that you give your best final offer when you have to, not before you have to. And I think they've got an offer there, and he's contemplating it, and it seems like other things are happening. And maybe it's good enough. Maybe that's the offer he takes. Maybe he wants more, and maybe he's waiting for them to step up. But I think they've made a pretty good offer, and I think it's 7 years.
Beware the mystery team. Beware the mystery team. I don't know who it is. Maybe the Cardinals. Maybe that's why it's a mystery. I don't know who it is, but I think that at this point of the negotiations, the longer this goes on, the more you fear that mystery team. I think yesterday what happened was the MLB social media platforms, they put out something that said 8 years, $250 million offer, and it had a picture of Machado and had offered, and then later in the day, it was taken down. Later in the day, you saw reports from MLB.com reporters saying that it was a seven-year offer, sources say. You heard our own Bruce Levine talk about how it was a seven-year offer. The White Sox were getting that out there because I do believe you're right. They don't want to negotiate against themselves. The eight-year report, it just seemed as if, I don't know who the sources were, but it seemed as if you had one source was from the agent side, one source was from the team side, and in the middle they shall meet. I don't know if they're going to be able to meet. It would be great for the city if Manny Machado becomes a White Sox player this week. It would be even great theater if they announce it in the morning of the Cubs convention. What does the White Sox infield look like if Manny Machado's there? You move Tim Anderson to second base, you move Mancata to third, and that is a pretty dynamic infield.
Yeah, as far as the infield goes, of course, Machado, he's going to end up playing shortstop because that's what he wants to do. Abreu's locked in, and kind of question marks because you can move guys around in the other spots at second base to third place. You can keep Mancata at second, or maybe he ends up moving in the infield to third base. If you don't have Tim Anderson in the infield, I think his future might be in a corner outfield spot, so you could see that. But right now I would have Machado, Mancata, Abreu, and Tim Anderson in the infield. And as far as all of these varying reports, I believe what Bruce Levine and Bob Nightingale have been reporting, and they've been firm on 7 years, and they have a history with the White Sox, years of connections over to the South Side. I don't think they're outbidding themselves at this point, so I believe that 7 year and that range of, I don't know, 175 to 225, somewhere in there, or 215, somewhere in that range. The SNY report, the latest one that came out yesterday, that he's just going to go to the highest bidder anyways, I don't know if that's 100% true. I don't know if it's just that clear cut. Because you're going to be, wherever he lands, he's going to be there a very long time. And being comfortable, I would think, comes into play a little bit in who his teammates are. If the money is close, I don't think it's just, oh, whatever the highest number is, that's where I'm going to end up going.
I don't really know what to believe in regards to contract offers on the table and all of the different things that have been reported. You would assume that Bruce and Bob Nightingale are closer to the organization than, you know, a Jeff Passan, but Jeff Passan has been on top of this stuff for years, and that's why he's kind of now the Woj of Major League Baseball, where he's kind of held in that esteem, where he's the guy kind of getting ahead of everything here. So I don't know what to believe there. As far as hypothetically, if Machado did come to the White Sox, yes, everybody says he wants to play shortstop. He's so much better at third base than he is at shortstop. I mean, Tim Anderson's a better shortstop defensively than Manny Machado. If that is like the sticking point, I mean, he had a bad first half last year, but, you know, not many people were watching the White Sox in the second half. But Tim Anderson did play a really good shortstop, and he's shown in the past, too, with his range and his arm, that he is really good defensively there, despite making a few errors. But if Machado did come here and that was the sticking point where, like, okay, I have to play shortstop, not playing anywhere else, then you move guys around. But I think ideally you leave Anderson at shortstop, you leave Mancata, and you have Machado play third.
But that's the whole thing. I mean, if you have he's not coming here unless the money's so he's coming here to play shortstop.
I think he'll play anywhere if he gets paid $30 million a year. He'll play catcher if they ask him.
But I don't think they've gotten to $30 million, right? I mean, if you're believing the reports, they haven't gotten even near $30 million a year.
It sounds like 28.
Yeah, I guess.
Ish.
25-ish sounds more, but again, I'm public school educated. All right, here's the other question. Does Mancata have a big enough arm to play third base? And if Anderson was okay at short, and I didn't watch enough Sox games, I'll be honest, okay?
Yomer played third.
Right, but why couldn't Anderson play third? If he's got the arm. If he's got the arm to play short, he'll have the arm to play third. I just wonder if – I don't know if you want to – I mean, was Moncada any better at the end of the year in the field? I know he
Listen,
can't
you locked
swing.
Him in at that spot, and you've used him there for a while. I wouldn't just
I wouldn't
kick
just
him
move
out
him
of it.
Around
yeah,
just for the
I
sake
would,
of moving
I would
him around.
Try to – Get his career
right. I think
going in the right direction before you mess around with where you play him.
I'd leave him there. I'd put Tim Anderson in the outfield. Okay, I'd put Manny Machado at short, and I'd figure out third. I go get somebody.
Who does Manny want at third or a second? You know, who does he want to be his double play partner? Ask him.
Right there, you go.
What's wrong with you,
John Jay?
Nope, good.
John Jay.
Nope, had a great year.
Does John Jay have to play center? Is that part of the deal?
I'll take anybody out the center over Adam Engel. Are you kidding me?
Where's Nicky Delmonico?
Take David Haw out
center
field.
Where's Nicky Delmonico going to play?
Leave Adam Engel out of this.
Charlie Tilson is who I'd like to see, but
he gone.
I know.
Maybe you can catch him in rookie ball next year.
It really bothers me that he's gone. Seriously,
you're the one.
Guy made good.
Hey, out at the Chicago Dogs.
Big fan. I'm a big fan.
Oh my god.
This is a very important question.
If you were an NFL general manager, would you draft Kyler Murray, and how high?
That depends on my roster. It depends on my coach. But I'm not saying that I wouldn't, because I think if you're paying attention to what's going on in the league, you're seeing the trend toward offensive football. You're seeing the trend toward RPOs. You're seeing a trend toward... Why is Cliff Kingsbury a head coach in the NFL? It's because of the offense that he runs. What offense does he run that would be perfect for a guy like Kyler Murray? That offense, okay? The one that makes your quarterback an athlete. It gives him alternatives. It gives him options. It makes him a threat on every play. Look, Kyler Murray has some deficiencies physically that he can't overcome. He's 5'10 with spikes on. And I think that he's, you know, slight, and he's got some things that will work against him when you're evaluating whether or not he can be an NFL quarterback. That said, have you watched him play? And I think that if you have watched him play, there's an element of excitement that's hard to ignore. And I think that when you look at the trend in the NFL, you look at Baker Mayfield, who's undersized but exciting and electric and has a lot of intangibles and also can throw the ball and he's accurate. I don't know if Kyler Murray can be an NFL quarterback because of the arm strength, because of some other issues. But I'm not going to just categorically say absolutely no way. And if the kid wants to play football, if he's motivated and passionate about this sport, you look at the guarantees that first-round quarterbacks get, the money could end up being a wash. Long-term, certainly, baseball offers more security, probably. It offers probably more earning potential. You look at Jeff Samardzija, everybody wants to do that. But you can't – it's hard to quantify what – if Kyler Murray wants to play in the NFL, what that means to him. And if he doesn't want to play baseball, he doesn't want to play baseball. So I would definitely not rule it out if I'm an NFL general manager.
If I was an NFL general manager, I would get this guy on my roster. No question about it. I mean, the question is how high. But to me, I look at a kid like that, and I think like Antoine Randle L type. I think of a kid
that can
really, you know – You can use him in so many different ways, and he'll be electric when you get the ball in his hands. If you put him on a team like the Bears, you could run so many different gimmick plays and so many different cool little things and specialty little items. You know, he's got a lot of Tariq Cohen, and he's got some Mitchell Trubisky, and he's got the ability to hurt you in different ways. I mean, you could have a lot of fun with a player like that, and the league has gone to that. The league is now more than ever, you can use a guy in a lot of different ways. Would I use a first-round pick on him? It would depend on my roster. It would depend on his commitment to football. Here's the thing. If he's going to play football, he's going to need to bulk up and change his body size a little. If he decides to play football, he needs to change himself a little bit, and that's going to affect his ability to play baseball. Now, he could always, if he loves football, he could come in and play football, and if it doesn't work, double back to baseball. His great athletic ability would man. He's a football player. He would be a valuable piece to have on your football team. Would he be a quarterback in this day and age? It's possible. We certainly see a lot more of these guys than we have previously. There's a lot more of the concepts from the college game than we've seen ever before in the NFL, and you know, I think that he probably could play some quarterback. But I would use him in a lot of different ways. And if he goes and plays baseball, there's not that immediate hit that you get if he plays football. He could really have an impact on Sundays. In terms of, you know, what would he go? High A tops, probably go low A ball and then move his way up. And it's great to have all that athletic ability, and it implies that you can do all these things. But baseball's a really different sport and a really tricky game, and you got to have a lot of fundamentals, and you have to learn a lot of things. And, you know, I don't know enough about him as a baseball player, but I know enough about him as an athlete to say I'd draft him.
Assuming need, Murray says all the right things in my interviews with him. I hear all the right things from his coaches, everybody else in his life. My head coach, my offensive coordinator, believe this guy can be something special. 100% I'm drafting this guy. You look at the quarterbacks coming out this year, can easily make the argument that he's a top two or three quarterback.
Yep.
You have Dwayne Haskins, Drew Locke over at Missouri. I mean, some people have Clayton Thorson as a top five quarterback in this draft, okay? So you're talking top two or three. I've seen it. You're talking top two or three. Yes, I would take him in the first round. I would take him top 10. If you hit on a quarterback in a rookie deal, that changes your organization completely.
I'm not as high on Kyler Murray as a lot of people. If he wants to play football, sure, you know, that's fine. He's obviously earned the right to make that decision for everything he's accomplished in both sports. He is an incredible athlete, but I don't know where you would take a player that you really don't know what his position's going to be any higher than, you know, the third round. I don't think he's big enough and will be durable enough to play quarterback. I don't know. He just had the 1 year at Oklahoma, and you don't know if he's a system guy or if it's just that offense. And he is very, very quite small. I wouldn't take him before the third round.
Yeah, I can't imagine doing it unless you're in a position where you can, you know, to Mully, to your point, I love the idea of the gimmicky stuff you could do with a guy like that, right?
You could do anything with that guy.
Right? Anything. Anything, but at what cost, right? You know, how onions are you going to be on this? Do you? It's hard to win in this league, and the separation is razor thin, right? I mean, maybe not at the top, but like getting into the
two
postseason.
Two big plays a game, Dustin. Six
right?
Touches.
No, I'm with you.
I'll tell you,
if Josh Rosen wasn't the quarterback of the Arizona Cardinals, he might be the first overall pick.
Wow.
You know what? This draft, and it's going to take a while, guys, this draft is filled with pass rushers and stud defensive linemen. That's the way this draft's going to end up going, because there are some really good, really top-shelf defensive guys that are probably going to go early. And part of it, David, you're right, a lot of these teams up there have taken quarterbacks.
What a stupid question that is. What a stupid question.
Don't miss Northwestern basketball at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season. Single-game tickets are available for Penn State, Rutgers, Minnesota, and Ohio State. Buy now at NUSports.com. What do you think of the meal offered Clemson for their White House dinner?
It's some weird bread and circus thing. I mean, this is a gimmick that is designed to, you know, make us talk about it, and we're kind of falling into it. I didn't think a lot of the meal offered at the White House. I love America. I love fast food too, but I don't think that's, I didn't get it really, other than it's some publicity stunt, and that seems to be all. It's just, again, there's, you know, there are people that are out of jobs, and there are people that are not getting paid, and, you know, the money is coming to them, and they should treat it like a vacation. There are people that are in charge of this that have never been through that don't know what it's like to live paycheck to paycheck. It's not easy. It's not a good thing. And those of us that have been through it would never want to go through it again. I'm going to pass on this because I don't want to get caught up in all this nonsense.
What, you mean NCAA student athletes are being exploited for something?
It was a photo thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was kind of silly. If I win the national championship and I am honored and privileged to be part of a group that gets to tour the White House, and they show up and they have fast food, I'm disappointed.
Sure.
I mean, yeah, you're disappointed. The pictures of the president with
great American food,
a table full of fast food from all pizza and hamburgers, it just seems a bit silly. You got Clemson there, too. Where's the Chick-fil-A?
If you're going to do it right.
What are those donuts, too? The Krispy Kreme, shouldn't those be represented? All food groups?
The reality show continues. It kind of made me laugh when I saw the platter of the sweet and sour in the barbecue
sauce. I thought it was a joke. When I first heard about it, I thought it was just a joke.
It made me laugh more than anything. Kevbo, I know you have thoughts.
No, absolutely
really?
None whatsoever. I mean, well, you know, what are you going to say? It was absurd. You know, it's just one more episode in this new reality show that we have in the White House. And I think actually, if you look at what was offered there and in line with this administration, it was cheap and trashy and disgusting, just like everything else.
Listen, I've never been a fan of these celebrations at the White House. I think it's a colossal waste of taxpayer money and time and effort. If everything is hunky-dory, which it hasn't been in a long time, then fine, okay? But right now, with what's going on, the last thing they need to do is be celebrating any kind of sports champions. Now that being said, I thought it was funny, like, because that's what Trump eats this stuff, right? Like, Trump's like a huge, like, burger with ketchup kind of guy, fast food kind of guy. And whatever. We all have to eat. You got to eat to live. One of the websites I look at, and I look at a lot of websites in the morning, they, like, broke down literally, like, item by item. They counted the items on the platter, and it was, like, $850 worth of Burger King, Wendy's. But, I get it. The cooks aren't there because the government shut. Like, couldn't you do better on, like, Grubhub or something, or Uber Eats, and like send
to be a billionaire and he's ordering
send better
Big Macs?
Food over. Well, that's what he thinks kids like. I mean, the guy's
he doesn't know a thing about anything.
He puts ketchup on his steak.
Yeah. I mean, how many rubles did that cost?
Dustin.
Again, believe it or not,
Dustin, the man puts ketchup on his steak.
Believe it or not, I didn't vote for him.
Okay. I'm just saying, you, of all men, would be offended by...
I've threatened somebody with a knife at a steakhouse once for having ketchup at the table.
He's insane about someone using ketchup at a steak.
Moving on.
That didn't
men's
go very well.
No.
That was an ill-conceived question. 312-644-6767 is the telephone number. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.